Well, in recent times, we've been going through the book of Exodus, and next week I'm going to start on Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is famous for the Ten Commandments. Before I start on that series next week, I want to talk to you this morning about how important the Ten Commandments are for us today. And not only us sitting in church, but the Ten Commandments are very, very important for society as a whole. God called the nation of Israel to be a holy people, and they were to be a separated people from the nations around them. They were to stand out because of their godliness. And you and I today, we are to stand out because we too are called to be a holy people. You and I are to be different than people in the world around us. When Peter wrote to the early church, it was being persecuted. And Peter said this to them, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." As you go through the Ten Commandments, God's will is given to us in the Ten Commandments. And did you know that 9 out of the Ten Commandments are repeated for us in the New Testament? 9 out of the 10. The exception is the Sabbath commandment, which was for Israel. You and I are not bound to keep the Sabbath day. We come together today on a Sunday, the first day of the week, in honour of the resurrection, in honour of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came out of the grave on the first day of the week. It's important for us to come together on the first day of the week as believers. Sadly today, in our society, our Christian society, there are Christians that can take or leave church. They think that church is not really that important, that they're happy to stay at home. I want to say to you, church is very important for all of us, not just because I'm a pastor and I've got to be here, not because of that, but church is important. It's important for you to hear the word of God. It's important for you to encourage one another on the first day of the week. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." How sad it was in the early church that people, and yet in the early church, they started to drift away and not see that church was important. Church is important. The Ten Commandments are important as well. Did you know God gave the Ten Commandments not as 10 suggestions? They were given as 10 commandments. When we obey God's laws in the home, then we are blessed. When we obey God's laws in the nation, then we are blessed. When we obey God's laws in the world, then the world is blessed. It's a shame to think that many people in Australia have got completely away from the knowledge of God's commandments. Do you know we are so blessed in this nation chiefly because of the laws of God, chiefly because of the Ten Commandments? Do you know Newcastle would be full of thieves if not for what commandment? Thou shalt not steal, commandment 8. You know, it wouldn't be safe for us to live in our homes. We would fear violence and attack and murder if it were not for what commandment? Commandment 6, thou shalt not kill. You and I live in relative safety because of the Ten Commandments. Our laws are based on the Ten Commandments. We need to remember that. Australia long has recognised the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. Many marriages have lasted for years, and most Australian men do not have multiple wives. Why? Which commandment? Commandment 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. The further Western society gets away from God's commandments, then the worse our civilizations become. Did you know this? That the state of Kentucky in America used to require that a copy of the Ten Commandments be posted in every school classroom. That was law, but it was challenged. And in 1980, the Supreme Court in America ruled that it was unconstitutional to have the Ten Commandments in public schools for religious purposes. The court ruled this: posting of religious texts on the wall serves no such educational function. If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to venerate and obey the Ten Commandments. Shock horror. Wouldn't that be terrible if they obeyed the Ten Commandments? This is what's written in the law. However desirable this might be as a matter of private devotion, it is not a permissible state objective under the Establishment Clause. What would be uneducational about kids reading, meditating, or obeying the Ten Commandments? Which does more harm, reading the Ten Commandments, or reading novels laced with bad language, or watching or playing violent video games, or listening to music with satanic lyrics? I'd say the Ten Commandments are a lot safer. Maybe if the Ten Commandments remained in American schools, there might be less shootings in those schools. Kentucky, as well as other states in America, have suffered because of the removal of God's words. Did you know that in America, every year, 2,900 children and teens are shot and killed? 2,900 teens are shot and killed, and 15,600 more are shot and injured. That's from an organisation called EveryTownResearch.org. The ABC News in America stated on the 3rd of September 2019 that there have been at least 19 deadly mass shootings in the USA so far in 2019. 19 deadly mass shootings so far. Last year, in January 2018, a 15-year-old schoolboy opened fire with a handgun, killing two students and injuring 18 other students at his Kentucky school. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin declared a day of prayer because of the school shooting. Governor Bevin said this: "We can't celebrate death in video games, celebrate death in TV shows, celebrate death in movies, celebrate death in musical lyrics, and remove any sense of morality and sense of higher authority, and then expect that things like this are not going to happen." That was from the Chicago Tribune. When you remove God's commandments and you remove God's word from a society that has been blessed because of it, then that society begins to crumble. The nation of Israel was blessed because they obeyed God's word, and the nation of Israel suffered if they disobeyed God's word. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." They were blessed as they obeyed the word of God. Israel was a nation, unfortunately, that forgot God and forgot his commandments many times in their history. When you think about the nation of Israel and you think about Australia, we possess the freedoms we do today largely because of the word of God. Unfortunately, Australia has embraced the pagan gods of other nations, and we've also embraced the gods of materialism and pleasure to our detriment. God's laws, revealed in his Ten Commandments, are God's principles of moral behaviour, not just for Israel. We as Christians, we are to make disciples. The Great Commission tells us that we are to go and make disciples in this nation and in every nation throughout the world. And in making disciples, we are to teach God's word to every age, in every age. When you understand how much Western civilization has been blessed, then you begin to see the important role that God's word and God's commands have played. God's commands have been the foundations for the moral code and legal systems of justice in the Western world. And the Western world has been blessed so much by the word of God. Removing God's word from the schools in America has been a disaster. It's happening here. There is a deliberate attempt to remove God's word from Australian schools. There are those that oppose scripture being taught in the states of Australia. I don't know if you get the Newcastle Herald, but the Newcastle Herald seems to, every school year, attack the fact that we have scripture in schools. When I was preparing this message, I thought I'll do a search and see how many times that the Newcastle Herald comes against scripture. This is what I found. January the 23rd, 2019, teachers will campaign for scripture's removal in New South Wales. That's the Newcastle Herald. January the 24th, 2019, New South Wales teachers to campaign to end mandatory scripture. Now, that was put in the Sydney Morning Herald by Joanne McCarty. February the 2nd, 2019, the New South Wales scripture in schools debate is not about religion, it's about child protection. Newcastle Herald. August the 12th, 2019. Thousands of Hunter students must wait once a week while a minority as low as 2% at some schools attend scripture under a dysfunctional and ad hoc system. Newcastle Herald. Education Minister Rob Stokes asked to immediately suspend scripture in New South Wales schools. That was from the Muswellbrook Chronicle, January the 31st, 2017. The author, Joanne McCarty, again. There is a deliberate attempt by the Newcastle Herald to stop scripture in Newcastle and, I believe, in New South Wales. I think it would be great if the Newcastle Herald should do an article on the history of scripture in schools and the history of public education in Australia. It has a very interesting history. The first school in Australia was not started by the government, it was started by the church. The first schools in Australia were Christian schools. Richard Johnson, the Anglican chaplain who came on the first fleet, he had set up three schools by 1792. He'd set up a school in Sydney, a school in Parramatta, and a school on Norfolk Island. And he was concerned that the children of settlers and the children of convicts, and he had a heart also for Aboriginal people, he was concerned that children would be educated in Australia. He had a very hard time out here. He came out here with his wife, had a child out here, and found it very, very difficult. But do you know who sent him out from England? Two men were involved in sending him out as the first chaplain. And the two main men that were behind that were John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, and William Wilberforce, who put up the bill to end slavery. They were the men behind bringing Johnson out here. And John Newton wrote a letter. When he was discouraged, he encouraged him from England and he wrote him a letter. And this is what he said about his ministry. "You are sent to New Holland," that's Australia. "You are sent to New Holland not to sow salad seeds, but to plant acorns, and your labour will not be lost. Though the first appearances may be very small and the progress very slow, you are, I trust, planting for the next century. I have a good hope that your oaks will one day spring up and flourish and produce other acorns, which in due time will take root and spread among the islands and nations in the Southern Ocean." That was John Newton's encouragement to Johnson. Johnson was concerned about the education of children, but Johnson's, perhaps his prime concern, was the gospel, that men and women, criminal and settlers, Aboriginals, that they would know the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that God would reveal himself to them as the word of God was preached. This gives you an idea of Johnson's heart. He wrote a little booklet for the early settlers, and he said this: "This will be my daily prayer to God for you. I shall pray for your eternal salvation, for your present welfare, for the preservation, peace, and prosperity of this colony, and especially for the more abundant and manifest success of the Redeemer's cause and kingdom, and for the effusion and outpouring of his Holy Spirit, not only here, but in every part of the habitable globe. Longing, hoping, and waiting for the dawn of that happy day when the heathen shall be given to the Lord Jesus for his inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession, and when all the ends of the earth shall see, believe, and rejoice in the salvation of God. I am your affectionate friend and servant in the gospel of Christ, Richard Johnson." He was a man that had a heart for this colony, for convicts and settlers, for children, for Aboriginals, that people might know the word of God. And this man founded education in Australia. Education in Australia was founded on Christian principles. The first schools were Christian schools in Australia. The New South Wales Public Instruction Act of 1880. Now, this is fast forwarding about 90 years after he established his first schools. It's interesting reading. It set down the nature of teachings in public schools. And this is what it said: "In every public school, 4 hours during each day shall be devoted to secular instruction exclusively, and a portion of each day, not more than 1 hour, shall be set apart when the children of any one religious persuasion may be instructed by the clergyman or other religious teacher of such persuasion." There you go. The Act of 1890 gave children up to 1 hour every day in Australian schools for religious instruction. That's almost 90 years after Johnson established his schools. Our founding fathers valued Christian chaplaincy. Our founding fathers valued the teaching of God's word and Christian education. Our government saw the value of teaching God's word in schools. And now Australia has had the teaching of scriptures in schools for hundreds of years, over 200 years. There's a push for ethics. We have a 200-year history of scripture in schools. You know what the history of ethics is? It's almost 10 years. a 200-year history compared to almost a 10-year history. It's a shame, you know, in our country where there are schools and where there are governments that want to get Scripture out of the schools. Here's a question. Is Victoria really going to be a better state by taking the Bible and Scripture out of the classroom? Is Kentucky schools safer because the Ten Commandments are no longer on the walls? Will New South Wales classrooms be better off if the campaign to get rid of scripture in school succeeds? I can tell you that Scripture in Schools programs are a lot safer than the government Safe Schools programs. Please pray for Scripture teachers in our schools. Please pray for Scripture in Newcastle. Please pray for our chaplains and our teachers in this state. Please pray for our principals and our vice principals. When I was teaching in the country, the people that really helped me the most with Scripture in the class, to get Scripture in there, was the principal and the vice principal. They helped me so much, particularly the vice principal. We need to be praying for our teachers. We need to be praying for those in the education department. We need to be praying for those in the Newcastle Herald, that they'll tell the other side of the story, that they'll tell the fact that Scripture is organised. It's not ad hoc. Scripture is very well organised in our state, and Scripture has a great history. The majority of parents in Australia today have largely deserted the teaching of God's word in their homes. Do you know that there are many children now in Australia that will never ever go to a church unless they go to a wedding or a funeral? How sad that is. Do you know there are numbers of Australian children that will never ever hear the word of God taught because it's not taught in their homes? They're not going to Sunday school. They're not going to church. And you know, for numbers of Australian children, the only place they will ever hear the word of God taught is in the public education sector, where principals allow Scripture to be taught in schools, where we have volunteers going into those schools. Pray for Scripture in schools. Pray that God's word would go out to the children of this nation. Without God's word, they have no hope. Do you know that there's millions of Australian children now that have no idea of God's commandments and God's moral standards unless they attend a Scripture class? Millions of Australian children today will never know that they are created in the image of God, in the will of God, for the glory of God, unless they hear the word of God. It's sad, very sad. Psalm 119:104 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, verse 126, "It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. If we don't teach the children of Australia to follow Christ, then the world is going to teach them not to. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in wickedness. If we don't teach school kids morality, then the world is going to teach them immorality. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Israel was blessed because God gave them his commandments, and we have been blessed in Australia because of God's commandments and God's word. Now, there are people in Australia that look at the Ten Commandments, and I meet them here in church. I meet people that will come here during the week, and they've got a wrong idea of the Ten Commandments. And they think, because they think they keep the Ten Commandments, that the Ten Commandments is going to get them to heaven. There are some people that have wrong ideas about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are good to keep. It is good for us to know the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments can't save us. You see, we all have a problem. What's that? We've all broken the commandments of God. And the commandments of God don't bring salvation. There's only ever been one person that has ever kept God's commandments. Who is that person? It's Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life on this earth, but none of us have kept God's commandments. The Ten Commandments don't save, but the Ten Commandments have a great function. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 3, verse 19, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference." To the Galatians, Paul wrote this about the law. He said, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." What's he saying there? The law is our teacher to bring us to Christ. You see, when I look at the law of God and I see God's Ten Commandments, I see my failures. I can't wash by the law. I can't pull off the Ten Commandments and wash myself clean by the law. I can only be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. The law is my teacher to bring me to Jesus. Every person that's become a Christian has come to the point in their life where they acknowledge God's laws. They've acknowledged their transgressions. They've acknowledged that they're in a hopeless state before a holy God. And they've acknowledged that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for all their sins, all the transgressions of the law. So I don't wash with the law. The law reveals to me that I'm a sinner before a holy God, and I'm in need of forgiveness. I'm in need of washing, and I can only be washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." I used to have a schoolmistress. Her name was, I don't think I'll ever forget it, Sister Giuseppe. I went to a Catholic school. She was the principal. I remember one day getting into trouble by Sister Giuseppe, and she lined me and other boys up in the office to receive corporal punishment on our hands. Sister Giuseppe represented the law to me. I didn't find forgiveness in Sister Giuseppe. She meted out the punishment. When I look at the law of God, I can only find forgiveness not in myself, not in anyone else. My forgiveness is only in Jesus when I've transgressed his law. When John wrote to the early church, he said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." The Lord Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for our sins, but for the sins of every single person outside this church. Every single person needs to know the law of God. We need to present the law of God so that they can see that they've failed God and that they need a Saviour in Jesus Christ. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up." Australia needs to take notice of the book of Deuteronomy. Australia needs to take notice of the Ten Commandments. Australia needs to broadcast the Ten Commandments far and wide so that people will see that they're sinners and that they have only one hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ.